Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Just wait, honey, because he's in the way.
A light of revelation to the Gentiles, and glory for your people Israel.
Just move. Alleluia. Girl, just come and stand here, because Father screwed it up. Sit here. There we go. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, even as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and that man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of God. He came in the Spirit to the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard of him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word, for mine own eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel." Now the child's father and mother were amazed at what had been said of him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword shall pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts might be revealed." Now there was a prophetess also, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow till she was 84. She never left the temple. And coming forward at the time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew up and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord
Jesus Christ. You're fine. Sit down. You're fine. Father's grumpy, and it has nothing to do with anyone in this church. So don't feel bad. So, who says prayers before they go to bed at night? Who says their bedtime prayers? What kind of prayers do we say before we go to bed at night? Who's willing to share the kind of things they say? Yeah, back here. One of you, whichever. Or not, somebody over here. Who says, okay, what do you say? You say a thank you prayer, good. What else?
Yeah.
Yep, go for it. The Our Father, good. Somebody else? Yes, right over here.
Jesus loves me?
I did. What was that?
Jesus loves me.
Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. These are great prayers. They're wonderful prayers to say before we go to bed. When I was a little boy, we used to kneel down. And we'd say an Our Father, and a Hail Mary, and a Glory Be. And then we'd say the Angel of God prayer. Who knows the Angel of God prayer? Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this be at my side, to light, to guard, to rule, and guide. And then we'd say, and God bless Mommy, and Daddy, and Grandma, and Grandpa, and all the rest, right? Well, the church has a kind of nighttime prayer. A prayer that Father Nick and I say every night before we go to bed, and thousands, millions of other people every single night, and it's the prayer from this gospel. Now, Lord, you let your servant go in peace, according to your word. For my own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and glory for your people Israel. See, Simeon, who's the old man who kind of hangs out at church all the time, we have here some old people that hang out at church all the time. You all see them. You don't necessarily know all their names, but I know you see them every week, every day when you're here. They're kind of always here, right? And they're like Simeon and Anna. They're the old people who have often been faithful their whole lives, or maybe really come to God toward the end of their life, and they're all in. They're in all the time. And when you live with God all the time, your vision of the world begins to change. You can see things more clearly, even if you can't see things with your eyes as clearly as once you did. And so when Mary and Joseph bring in the child Jesus, the day they brought him in, there would have been thousands of other people, hundreds at least, of other people in the temple, and none of them understood that the baby that was being brought in was special. But Simeon and Anna did. They could see something in the baby nobody else could see. And the reason the church keeps this feast every year so big, we haven't here for a while, and we're kind of edging up a little bit year by year. But the reason we do is because something really miraculous is happening in this story. It looks like a baby's just being brought to the temple. And that happened all the time. Now, this one is as much for the grown-ups as for the kiddos, but we often confuse what happens today in this feast with what happens on January 1st. This is not the Lord's circumcision. This is a different thing. Circumcisions happen after 8 days. This is a thing that mostly doesn't happen anymore because there's not a temple. But in the old law, the firstborn son, who remembers what happened to the firstborn son of the Egyptians? Something really scary happened to the firstborn son of the Egyptians. Yeah. They died. That's exactly right. Well done. The firstborn sons of the Egyptians died. And what did the Jews do to make sure that their kids didn't die? How did they mark their house? Remember? What's that? They put lamb's blood on the door. Bingo, bango. That's exactly right. So they put lamb's blood on the door so that their kids would be safe. But they had to sort of buy their kids back from God. So the firstborn sons, who belong by right to God, they had to go and make an offering in order to keep the son. It's not like God was going to take the son, but it was their recognition that God had a right to this child. And so they would show up with a sacrifice. Jesus is the firstborn son of the Blessed Mother, and so they have to offer the sacrifice. But here's what's different. Every other kid that ever got brought into that temple was just another kid. They were important to their family. They were important in the eyes of God, but to everybody else, they were just like any other kid. But what Simeon and Anna could see, what we now, looking backwards, can see, is that in Jesus, God walked into his own temple. In Jesus, the one who was worshipped in that temple suddenly appeared. In Jesus, the God who was invisible, whom nobody could ever see, was suddenly visible in our flesh, in blood and skin and bones, just like yours and mine. And that's why what we do in the church is always so tangible. It's why we bless candles that we're going to use all year long and light them. It's why we use holy water and sprinkle ourselves with it. It's why, above all else, the most important thing we do is here at the altar, where we take the flesh of God into our hands and into our mouths and into our bellies. It's why we're saved through stuff, because God wanted to take all the wonderful things that make up the world and not just let them be good or pretty or fun, but saving, so that we wind up saved by water and oil and flame and smoke and bread and wine and water, so that God saves us through the very stuff that oftentimes gets us into trouble. This is also why, and I know it's a pain when we do it, but this is also why we give stuff up. Why fasting, which we'll be starting here again before too long, is such an important part of our life. Because it turns out, I know this is hard to believe, because I struggle with it too, and I'm a lot older than any of you. I'm in charge of me. I really am. I have all kinds of feelings, and sometimes I let my feelings run me, and I say or do things I don't quite mean, but I'm in charge of me. And so I can decide to do or not to do the things that I know are good for me, or to do or not to do the things that I know are bad. And in that way, God lets me share not only in how he saves me, but in how he saves the kid next to me. So, as we pray through the rest of the Mass, here's what I want you to think about. I want you to think about the darkest room you've ever been in. Maybe it was your bedroom when you were real small, and sometimes the nightlight would go out. Or maybe it's the bathroom. I know when I was a kid, my bedroom, there was always light from the street, but the bathroom didn't have any windows. It was the darkest room in the house. And if I didn't have that nightlight in there, I'd get scared just in the 10 seconds it took me to find the switch. Maybe it's a room in your basement or in the attic, or maybe it's sometime you visited a cave with your family. But I want you to think about the dark. And then what happened when you saw the light again? That light is Jesus. And the reason we keep this feast is because if we're faithful, that light can be yours too.